These are all these personalities should be our real heroes. So they are actually, they should be our real heroes or role models. So Chaitanya tree, Nityananda tree, and the 12th chapter is the tree of Advaita Acharya and Gadadhar Pandit. Nityananda Padamboja Bringan Prema Madun Madan Natva Kilante Shumukya Likyante Katichinmaya.
After offering my obeisances unto all the devotees of Sri Nityanand Prabhu, who are like bumblebee collecting honey from his lotus feet, I shall try to describe those who are the most prominent.
Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Tahara Charanashrita Yesei Danya.
All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone who has taken shelter at his lotus feet is glorious.
Jaya Jaya Sri Advaita Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu Sarva Bhakta Vrinda.
All glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu, Nityanand Prabhu and all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Then he speaks a beautiful verse. Tasya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sat Prema Marashakinaha Urdvaskandava Dutendu Shaka Rupanganannumaha.
Sri Nityanand Prabhu is the topmost branch of the indestructible tree of eternal love of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the sub-branches of that topmost branch.
So he says, from the branch of Nityananda Prabhu, so many branches have spread and they have actually covered the entire world with so many fruits and flowers. He explains that actually nobody can even count the number of devotees, number of branches from Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu's branch. But I am just listing only some of these devotees for my own purification. I am just only enumerating the most prominent among them. So Prabhupada writes a very short and but very instructive purport in the 7th verse. So he gives instruction about what should be the mood in writing any transcendental literatures. So when a person is writing some transcendental literature, it should be written under the instruction or the guidance of the superior. And secondly, one should not write such literature for some like name or fame or something. And then Prabhupada says that one should write some literature with a mood for self-purification. These are the few points which are explained there. And the direction of a superior authority, and secondly, not for any material purposes, and thirdly, for self-purification. These are the three lessons which Prabhupada is drawing. Sri Virabhadra Gosai Skanda Mahashaka Tandravupa Shakayata Asankyatara Leka.
After Nityanand Prabhu, the greatest branch is Virabhadra Gosai, who also has innumerable branches and sub-branches. It is not possible to describe them all.
So Virabhadra Prabhu is the greatest branch. Virabhadra Prabhu is actually none other than the son of Nityananda Prabhu. And he is the incarnation of, who is that? Sorry. The incarnation of Kshirodakshai Vishnu. That's a beautiful description, like how Virabhadra Prabhu danced in the Keturi Gram festival. Keturi Gram, the first Chaitanya, Gaur Purnima festival. It's described in the, I think, Bhakti Ratnakar. So he's actually none other than the, his incarnation of Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And it's explained that so Veerabhadra Goswami had a disciple named Yadunatha Acharya who had two daughters, a real daughter named Srimati and a foster daughter named Narayani. I think both these daughters married Veerabhadra Prabhu. I don't know why it is mentioned, names of the daughters. But so Prabhupada explains there were actually three disciples of Veerabhadra Prabhu. The three disciples were Gopijana Vallabha, Ramakrishna and Ramachandra. And then he just particularly Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur first particularly clarifies that these three disciples are not his real sons, but they are his three disciples, but they were considered by Veerabhadra Prabhu as his sons. And then he gives a detailed list of actually the descendants through these actually these three person these three disciples. So that list is given. Ishvara Haya Kahai Mahabhagavata Veda Dharma Titahana Veda Dharmerata
Although Veerabhadra Gosai was the supreme personality of Godhead, he presented himself as a great devotee. And although the supreme Godhead is transcendental to all Vedic injunction, he strictly followed the Vedic rituals.
So we can see, especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, like there are many incarnations of the Supreme Lord, but they acted like a devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Veerabhadra Prabhu. So all these are actually incarnations of the Lord. But all of them, but he acted like a great Mahabhagavat. Huh. So, antare ishvara cheshta bahire nirdamba chaitanya bhakti mandape teho mulastamba.
He is the main pillar in the hall of devotional service erected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew within himself that he acted as the Supreme Lord Vishnu, but externally he was prideless.
So Kaviraj Goswami says that by the mercy of Veerabhadra Gosai, there are so many devotees all over the world who are able to chant the names of Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu. So therefore he says that I take shelter of the lotus feet of Veerabhadra Gosai in order to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I hope that he will properly guide me in this endeavor. That is the prayer of Kaviraj Goswami. Shri Rama Dasa Ara Gadadara Dasa Chaitanya Gosaira Bhakta Rahetandra Pasha.
Two devotees of Lord Chaitanya named Sri Ramdas and Gadadhar Das always lived with Sri Veerabhadra Gosai.
So if you remember, this Ramdas and Gadadhar Das, they came in the previous chapter also. They were associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also Nityananda Prabhu. And that Abhiram... Abhiram Thakur, na? Abhiram Thakur, the same personality. The Abhiram Thakur, that Sri Ramdas was later known as Abhiram Thakur. The same is called that Abhiram Thakur of the Kanakulya Krishnanagar, which came in the previous chapter. So he is also called as Ramdas. That Abhiram Thakur, like if he whenever he would offer obeisances to some particular deity, if that deity is not bona fide, then the deity would immediately break into pieces. And then he had a particular whip, and whomever actually with that whip he would actually touch somebody's person, that person would go into ecstasy. And also it's explained that if he would offer obeisances to some Vaishnava, is that Vaishnava is not a true person, not a true Vaishnava, then he would immediately die, something like that. That's why when Abhiram Thakur, when he heard the devotion of Raghunandan, he wanted to offer obeisances to Raghunandan. But like his father and mother, they tried to hide Raghunandan. And somehow he met Raghunandan and offered obeisances. So these are many pastimes related to Abhiram Thakur. So Abhiram Thakur is which personality in Krishna Leela? Sridhama. Yesterday I mentioned. Sridhama in Krishna Leela. So these are some pastimes explained here. The both are same personalities. Ramdas and Abhiram Thakur. He became known as Abhiram Thakur. The first line, Sri Ramdas, later known as Abhiram Thakur, was one of the 12 Gopals. So there are 12 cowherd boys who are actually the friends of Balramji, who descended along with Nityananda Prabhu. So all those 12 cowherd boys will be mentioned in this chapter. So Abhiram Thakur is like the first, one of the 12 Gopals. Shivananda Sen, that is different, Shivananda Sen's three sons, Chaitanya Das, Ram Das and Puri Das. That is different, So, among the disciples of Abhiram Thakur, Sriman Acharya was the most famous and the most dear, but it is doubtful that he was his initiated disciple. Maybe he was his Siksha disciple, it looks like. So then, Kaviraj Goswami says that there are devotees like Ram Das and Gadadhar Das, they belonged to both the groups, Chaitanya group and also to the Nityananda group. And similarly, the devotees like Madhva Ghosh and Vasudev Ghosh, they also belonged to both the groups of devotees simultaneously. So in this purport, the 14th and 15th verse purport, Prabhupada explains about that Govinda Ghosh, these three brothers, Govinda Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh and Madhava Ghosh. So Govinda Ghosh was these three personalities, they were from the place of Agradweep. And Govinda Ghosh, he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, and then I think it seems later he came to Agradweep. And then his son died before his son actually died. And then Govinda Ghosh was actually weeping that who would perform a Shraddha ceremony. That time the Gopinath deity whom he was worshipping, the Gopinath deity actually came in the dream and told him that I will perform your Shraddha ceremony. So Prabhupada writes in the purport of 3.25.38, Kapila Dev's instruction to Devahuti, there's a verse which comes that Yesham Akam Priya, 3.25.38. Somebody can read the translation of that verse. 3.25.38.
And immediately attain the service of your lotus feet.
Okay, this is 38.
The Lord continued, my dear mother, devotee who receives such transcendental opulences are never bereft of them. Neither weapons nor the change of time can destroy such opulences. Because the devotees accept me as their friend, their relative, their son, preceptor, benefactor, and supreme deity, they cannot be deprived of their possession at any time.
This last line, this third and fourth line of the verse, Yesham Aham Priya, like that it comes. Mm. Because the devotees accept me as their friend or their son or their relatives, they are never actually deprived of possessions at any time. So in relation to that, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, there is a devotee in Bengal who accepted the Supreme Lord as his son. And the deity as the son, and the deity still performed the Shraddha ceremony for this devotee. And so in the Agradweep, every year there is a on a particular day of when Govinda Ghosh actually disappeared, so they take the Gopinath deity who performed the Shraddha ceremony. So many of these purports, one thing which I found is that, so Saraswati Thakur explains that, like in that particular village of the personality, they still observe the disappearance day of all these associates. So that is explained in many of the purports. Acha. He performs Shraddha ceremony. Oh, there's a festival. Okay. So Ramdas, so he made a flute from a stick with 16 knots, and then he was in a mood of actually fraternal love of Godhead. 17th verse. Gadadara Dasa Gopi Bhave Purnananda Yandre Gare Dana Keli Kaila Nityananda.
Srila Gadadhara Das was always fully absorbed in ecstasy as a gopi. In his house, Lord Nityananda enacted the drama Dan Keli.
So this is Gadadhara Das. And when Madhav Ghosh and Vasudev Ghosh, they are also very good sweet kirtan singers. And Vasudev Ghosh would actually sing, even the wood and stones would actually melt by the hearing the singing of Vasudev Ghosh. And there is another great personality, Murari Chaitanya, which came in the previous chapter also, but more details are mentioned in this verse, 20th verse. Murari Chaitanya Dasera Alaukika Leela Vyagra Gale Chadamare Sarpasane Kela.
There were many extraordinary activities performed by Murari, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes in his ecstasy, he would slap the cheek of a tiger, and sometimes he would play with a venomous snake.
So this is something conceivable. Of course, in the modern days, sometimes there are people, like they don't have any fear of the snakes or something. Sometimes in the Western world, sometimes people who grew up in the forest or something, they don't have actually fear of these animals. But the main point in Murari Chaitanya is that he was actually not at all in the bodily platform. He was not at all in the bodily platform. So modern day also sometimes you may see certain people like that. But they are not actually above the bodily platform. So Prabhupada says that Murari Chaitanya behaved almost like stone or wood, but he always used his energy in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. No one can describe his specific characteristics, but it is understood that wherever Murari Chaitanya Das passed, whoever was present would be enlightened in Krishna consciousness simply by the atmosphere he created. So Murari Chaitanya was the same person who was the disciple of Sarang Thakur. So he lived in that Mamgachi area, in the village of Madadruma Dvipa. So that is what he would treat tigers as if they are like cats and dogs. Nityanandera Ganayata Sabavrajasaka Shringavetra Gopavesha Shireshi Kipaka.
All the associates of Lord Nityananda were formerly cowherd boys in Vrajabhumi. Their symbolic representations were the horns and sticks they carried, their cowherd dress and peacock plumes on their heads.
So it's explained that Janava Devi is also one of the associates of Nityananda Prabhu. She is the wife of Nityananda Prabhu. And Janava Devi, according to Gaur Ganadesha Deepika, she was Ananga Manjari in Krishna Leela. And there is another personality called as Raghunatha Upadhyaya. He was also a physician. Simply by seeing him, one would awaken love of Godhead. Now the second cowherd boy, that is Sundarananda. Sundarananda Nityanandera Shaka Vritya Marma Yandra Sange Nityananda Kare Vraja Narma.
Sundarananda, another branch of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, was Lord Nityananda's most intimate servant. Lord Nityananda Prabhu perceived life of Prajabhumi in his company.
So there are some more details about the Sundarananda. Sundarananda was Sudama in Krishna Leela, not the Sudama of that. The Sudama who... No, it's a cowherd by Sudama, not the Brahmana Sudama. It's actually cowherd by Sudama in Krishna Leela. And the Sundarananda was a Naishthika Brahmachari, and he had no direct descendants except his disciples. So some disciples were mentioned as... No, the disciples' names were not mentioned. But it's explained that, as I mentioned, on the full moon day of the month of Magha, the anniversary of Sundarananda's disappearance is regularly celebrated. People from the neighboring areas gather together to observe this festival. So, of course, all these are being celebrated when, because all these are actually mentioned from the directly from the purports of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, we don't know whether right now also it is being celebrated. They must all be in these purports were written by Saraswati Thakur, definitely 1920s or 30s. Kamalakara Pipalai Alaukikarita Alaukika Prematandra Bhuvane Vidita.
Kamalakar Pippalai is said to have been a third Gopal. His behavior and love of Godhead were uncommon, and thus he is celebrated all over the world.
So he is the third Gopal called as Mahabal, or Mahabal in Krishna Leela. So there's a detailed description of the descendants of Kamalakant people, that is explained. So there is a one story which is explained here is that Kamalakanta Pippalai, he came and settled in the village called as Mahesh. So there's a story which goes that there was a devotee called as Dhruvananda. So he went to see, he went to take darshan of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra in Jagannath Puri. So he had made some prasadam, he had made some boga for the Lord, and then he actually wanted to offer it to the Lord. So one night the Lord came in the dream and told Dhruvananda that you must go to Mahesh and you must start worshipping me in Mahesh. So Dhruvananda came to this place called as Mahesh, I guess in Bengal, or I'm not sure. Mahesh. So when he came to Mahesh village, so there he saw three deities, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, floating in the Ganges. So he picked up these deities and then he started actually worshipping them. So when he became old, then he wanted to hand over the worship to some reliable person. So that time the Lord came in the dream and told him to actually hand over to the person whom he would meet in the next morning. So next day morning, this Dhruvananda, he met actually Kamalakar Pippalai. So therefore, he handed over the worship to Kamalakar Pippalai. So in the Mahesh village, Kamalakar Pippalai started worshipping the Jagannath Baladev Subhadra deities. So there's a Jagannath temple there. So there he started worshipping them. So therefore, the brother of Kamalakar Pippalai, he actually came searching for Kamalakar Pipalai, and then he also came and actually settled in Mahish. These are some details explained here. So the another thing Prabhupada says is that in this way Kamalakar Pipalai became the worshipper of Lord Jagannath, and since then his family members have been designated as Adhikari, which means one who is empowered to worship the Lord. Surya Dasa Sarakela Tandrabai Krishna Dasa Nityanande Drida Vishwas Premera Nivasa.
Suryadas Sarkhela and his younger brother Krishnadas Sarkhela both possessed firm faith in Nityanand Prabhu. They were reservoir of love of Godhead.
So Suryadas Sarkhela and Krishnadas Sarkhela, they were actually basically four brothers, Suryadas Sarkhela, Krishnadas Sarkhela, and Gauridas Pandit, and maybe one more name, I don't know whether it is mentioned. So all these are brothers. So the Gauridas Pandit, who is also the brother of Suryadas Sarkhela, so he is the fourth Gopal called as Subal. And Gauridas Pandit, he came and settled at the place of, anybody knows the place? Gauridas Pandit. Huh? Ambika Kalna. So I think we had visited in few times in the Yatras. Ambika Kalna is near Shantipur. So there is a famous Gauranithai temple that a Gauridas Pandit would, with a stick he would actually. There is a explained that. Like in that temple, so on Bhagavad Gita, which was actually copied by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is also kept there. A copy of the Bhagavad Gita written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still exists in the temple. So Gauridas Pandit actually, he stayed at the place of Ambika Kalna. I remember. And of course, there are many names, the descendants of Gauridas Pandit, they are explained here. So in front of the temple, there is a big tamarind tree, and it is said that Gauridas Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met underneath this tree. Yeah. So making Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda the lords of his life, Gauridas Pandit sacrificed everything for the service of the Lord Nityananda, even the fellowship of his own family. Nityananda Prabhura Priya Pandita Purandara Premarnava Madhye Fire Yaichena Mandara.
The 13th important devotee of Sri Nityananda Prabhu was Pandit Purandar, who moved in the ocean of love of Godhead, just like the Mandar Hill.
So Pandit Purandar is actually none other than the Angada in Ram Leela, because he danced very uncommonly, and his dancing, when Nityananda Prabhu visited his village, he danced very uncommonly, and Nityananda Prabhu's dancing captivated Pandit Purandar. So and there is a fifth Gopal, who is Parameshwar Das, who was actually in Krishna Leela, he is the Gopal called as Arjun. Not the Arjun of the Pandavas, but anyone who even remembers his name, Parameshwar Das, will get love of Krishna very easily. So Parameshwar Das is also sometimes known as Parameshwari Das. And there is another one interesting detail which is explained is that, so there is a Samadhi of Parameshwar Thakur, and above that samadhi, there is a kadamba tree and the tulasi bush. And it is said that only once in a year, this kadamba tree gives a flower. And that flower is actually offered to the deity. These are some details which are explained. And another thing which is explained is that like Parameshwar Thakur, he actually established a temple in which Radha Gopinath deities are there. But sometime later, they also established a deity of Baladev along with the Radha Gopinath. But Saraswati Thakur explains, actually Balramji being present on the same altar as Radha and Krishna, it is not appropriate. It is actually somewhat like Rasabhas. He says that it's not Baladevji is not supposed to be on the same throne along with Radha and Krishna. So Saraswati Thakur says it seems that some of the later people, they install this deity of Baladev along with Radha Gopinath. So then the 15th branch is Jagadish Pandit, and devotional love of Krishna showered from him like torrents of rain. So yesterday I mentioned that Jagadish Pandit's house is there near the Chakda railway station in Yashoda Gram. So Jagadish Pandit and there is actually Hiranya Pandit.
Somebody threw a dead jackal or something, no? When he was doing kirtan from a distance due to envy for him. And they threw a jackal in the middle of the sankirtan. And the jackal came back to life. There I heard it is Parameshwari Das Thakur. This is Parameshwari Thakur. Whether it's the same, I don't know.
Both are actually same. Like Parameshwari, in the purport they explained that he is sometimes called as Parameshwari Dasa. He's also called as Parameshwar Das.
Yes. So that the jackal came back to life.
So Jagadish Pandit. So Jagadish Pandit has explained that his father and mother were great devotees of Vishnu, and after their death, Jagadish Pandit came to Mayapur and to live in the company of Jagannath Mishra and other Vaishnavas. So then, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Jagadish Pandit to go to Jagannath Puri to preach Harinam Sankirtan. And after returning from Jagannath Puri, on the order of Mahaprabhu, he established the Jagannath temple in the village of Yashoda Gram. So it is described that he used a stick in order to bring the deities of this Jagannath Baladev Subhadra from Jagannath Puri to Yashoda Gram. So that stick which was used to actually, was used by Jagadish Pandit to carry the deity, it is still there in the temple. So that is like another detail which is there. And the sixth servant of Nityananda Prabhu is Dhananjay Pandit. It was very much renounced and always merged in love of Krishna. So Saraswati Thakur explains many details about the temple he constructed. It is said that for some time Pandita Dhananjay was in a Sankirtan party under the direction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he went to Vrindavan. Before going to Vrindavan, he lived for some time in a village called as Sanchada Panchada, which is 6 miles south of the Memari railway station. Thirty-second verse. Mahesh Pandita Vrajera Udara Gopala Dakka Vadye Nritye Kare Preme Mato Yala.
Mahesh Pandit, the seventh of the 12 Gopalas, was very liberal. In great love of Krishna, he danced to the beating of kettle drum like a madman.
So he is the seventh Gopal. The name of Mahesh Pandit in Krishna Leela is not mentioned. But it is said that Mahesh Pandit joined the festival performed by Nityananda Prabhu at Panihati. Narottam Das Thakur also joined in the festival. and Mahesh Pandit saw him on that occasion. And the eighth Gopal, who is Toka Krishna, he appeared as Purushottam Pandit, and he would become almost mad as soon as he heard the holy name of Nityananda Prabhu. And then there was another personality called as Balram Das, who fully tasted the nectar of love of Krishna. He would also become maddened by hearing the name of Nityananda Prabhu. Then the next devotee is Yadunath Kavichandra. Nityananda Prabhu always danced in his heart. And then the 21st devotee was Krishna Das Brahmana, who was a first class servant of the Lord. So it is said that he lived in the actually Radha Desh. Radha Desh is actually that area of Bengal where Ganges does not flow. That's this one. And then the ninth Gopal, who is called as Lavanga in Krishna Leela, he appeared as Kala Krishna Das. So you know, Kala Krishna Das, I think the same personality. Because after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him not to come to him, but Nityananda Prabhu was the person who actually awarded service to Kala Krishna Das. What service he gave? He sent Kala Krishna Das to go to actually Navadvip and actually to describe the pastimes of Mahaprabhu during the South India Yatra. So Kala Krishna Das was in Lavanga in Krishna Leela. So there is a festival commemorating the disappearance of Kala Krishna Das in the village of Akali Hatta. And then the next devotees were Sadashiva Kaviraj and his son Purushottam Das, who was the 10th Gopal. Purushottam Das in Krishna Leela, Sadashiva Kaviraj in Krishna Leela was Chandravali. Purushottam Das in Krishna Leela was mentioned the name. He is the 10th Gopal. So Purushottam Das was merged in the service of Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu and he always engaged in childish play with Lord Krishna. And so these three personalities, Sadashiva Kaviraj and his son is Purushottam Das, and Purushottam Das' son is Kanu Thakur. So Kanu Thakur is in Krishna Leela he is called as Dama. And he was such a great devotee that Lord Krishna always lived in his body. So there is explained that Kanu Thakur is also known by two other names. One is Shishu Krishna Das and another is Kanai Thakur. Shishu Krishna Das and Kanai Thakur. So why he is called as Shishu Krishna Das is that because it is said that just after the birth of Kanu Thakur, his mother Janava died. And when he was about 12 years old, Nityananda Prabhu took him to his home, Kardaha. And it is said that he took birth on the Ratayatra day. Because he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna from the very beginning of his life, so Nityananda Prabhu gave him the name Shishu Krishna Das. And when he was 5 years old, he went to Vrindavan with Janava Mata. And upon seeing the ecstatic symptoms of Kanu Thakur, he was given the name Kanai Thakur. These are some details. So 41st verse. Mahabhagavata Shrestha Datta Uddharana Sarva Bhave Seve Nityanandera Charana.
Uddharana Dutt Thakur, the 11th among the 12 cowherd boys, was an exalted devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda in all respects.
So Uddharana Dutt Thakur, he is also a very great personality. He is the 11th Gopal. In Krishna Leela, he is called as Subahu. So Uddharana Dutt Thakur actually places in Adi Saptagram, and Prabhupada says that his family lineage is very much connected to the lineage of Uddharana Dutt Thakur. at least many of the yatras we had visited this place of Udayanadatta Thakur. It's almost, I think, 2 or 3 hours from Mayapur. So there is a story, the details have given. It's explained that so there was a Suvar, Udayanadatta Thakur, he actually belonged to a Suvarna Vani community. So in Calcutta, Calcutta was actually, in Calcutta, many of this Suvarna Varni community, they actually resided in Calcutta. So many of them actually were descendants of this Udayanadatta Thakur and his previous family members. So there is a story, there was a personality called as Ballal Sen. So this Ballal Sen, he wanted to, there was a misunderstanding between Ballal Sen and the Suvarna Vani community because of a banker called as Gauri Sen. So Ballal Sen, he wanted to take revenge against this Gauri Sen. So what he did was that he actually created a social conspiracy and which he said that all the Suvarna Varni community, they belong to some lower caste. And he actually made the Suvarna Varni community as some outcast of the society. So from that time, because of the social conspiracy of Ballal Sen, the Suvarna Varni community, actually they belong to the higher class Brahmana family, but they were ostracized by the conspiracy of Ballal Sen. So then it's explained that because of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, when Nityananda Prabhu came to the village of Adi Saptagram, he again purified the Suvarna Varni community who were previously ostracized and by the conspiracy of Ballal Sen. And Nityananda Prabhu purified them. And this is the actually detailed mentioned here. So in the Udayanadatta Thakur, in the Adi Saptagram, there is a six-armed deity, Shadbuj Gauranga. And both sides there is a deity of Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Prabhu. So Prabhupada explains that after he returned from his first visit to America in 1967, he came along with his Western disciples and he went to actually Adi Saptagram. And he explains that even in his childhood, he had visited this Adi Saptagram, the house of Udayanadatta Thakur. These are some details Prabhupada is explaining here. And also, it's explained that Udayanadatta Thakur, later, in 1899, some of the descendants of Udayanadatta Thakur, they actually established a murti of Udayanadatta Thakur in that particular temple. I think, if I remember, and then later, Saraswati Thakur is saying that murti is now no longer there. That murti shifted to some other place, and now there's only a picture of Udayanadatta Thakur there. So these are some details he's explaining here. Acharya Vaishnavananda Bhakti Adhikari Purvenama Chila Yandra Raghunatha Puri.
The 27th from... The 27th prominent devotee of Nityananda Prabhu was Acharya Vaishnavananda, a great personality in the devotional service. He was formerly known as Raghunath Puri.
Yeah. You can read the next verse.
Important devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu was Vishnudas, who had two brothers, Nandan and Gangadas. Lord Nityananda Prabhu sometimes stayed at their house.
So Nandana Acharya, I hope the same person, Nandana, which came in the previous chapter. Nandana Acharya's house was the hiding place of Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, yeah, next one, next verse, 44.
Parmanand Upadhyay was Nityananda Prabhu's great servitor. Sri Jiva Pandita glorified the qualities of Sri Nityananda Prabhu.
So Jiva Pandit was formerly the gopi named Indira in Krishna Leela. Next verse.
The 31st devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu was Paramananda Gupta, who was greatly devoted to Lord Krishna and highly advanced in spiritual consciousness. Formerly, Nityananda Prabhu also resided at his house for some time.
32nd, 33rd and 34th were Narayana, Krishnadas, Manohar and Devananda. And then there are devotees like Hoda Krishnadas, whose life and soul was Nityananda Prabhu. He was always dedicated to the lotus feet of Nityananda and he knew no one else but him. And then the other devotees were Nakadi, Mukunda, Surya, Madhava, Sridhara, Ramananda, Jagannatha, and Mahidara. Srimanta was the 45th, Gokul was the 46th, Hariharananda 47th, Shivai the 48th, Nandai 49th, and Paramananda 50th. And then Vasanta, Navani Hoda, Gopal, Sanatana, Vishnai, Krishnananda, and Sulochana the 57th. 58th devotee was Kamsari Sena, the 59th was Ram Sen, the 60th was Ramachandra Kaviraj, 61st, 62nd, 63rd were Govinda, Sriranga and Mukunda. So Ramachandra Kaviraj and Govinda Kaviraj, they came in the previous chapter also. So Ramachandra Kaviraj, Ramachandra Kaviraj is a dear associate of Narottam Das Thakur. Ramachandra Sangam Ahi Narottam Das. He is a disciple of Srinivas Acharya. So one thing we can see is that Ramachandra Kaviraj is a disciple of Srinivas Acharya. Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya, they were like God brothers. So Narottam Das Thakur is longing for the association of the disciple of his God brother. So Ramachandra Kaviraj and Govinda Kaviraj both were given the name title Kaviraj by Jiva Goswami. That is also, that's a story of Govinda Kaviraj. Previously he was the worshipper of Durga. And then somebody knows the story that Ramachandra Kaviraj, how he became a devotee, that Govinda Kaviraj became a devotee. The garland of flowers, the flower, like Ramachandra Kaviraj, Ramachandra Kaviraj or Srinivas Acharya, he saw a garden, he offered the entire garden as an offering to Krishna. And then later, I think Govinda Kaviraj, because he was offering those flowers to worship to Kali, then he offered that flower to Kali. And then Kali, on that day, he came in the dream. And he said, she said something like, I'm very pleased with you. So he asked like, I've been every day offering flowers and why did you appear today? Because today you offered the Mahaprasad of my Lord. Something. So something like that. That's how Ramachandra Kaviraj becomes a devotee. So Govinda Kaviraj, he wrote books called as Sangeeta Madhava and Geeta Amrita. He's a great Vaishnava poet. And what is the famous Vaishnava song which we usually sing? Govinda Kaviraj, the song written by Govinda. Bhaja Hure Mana Srinandanandan. That is a famous song. Other devotees of Nityananda Prabhu are Pitambara, Madhvacharya, Damodar Das, Shankara, Mukunda, Gyanadas, and Manohar were the 70th. The dancer Gopal was the 71st, Ramabhadra the 72nd, Gaurangada the 73rd, Narsimha Chaitanya 74th, and Meenaketan Ramdas the 75th. So Meenaketan Ramdas, if my name came in. So Meenaketan Ramdas in incarnation of Sankarshan. So he's the incarnation of Sankarshan. 54th verse. Vrindavana Dasa Narayanira Nandana Chaitanya Mangala Yeho Karila Rachana.
Vrindavan Das Thakur, the son of Srimati Narayani, composer Sri Chaitanya Mangal, later known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Bhagavate Krishna Leela Varnila Vedavyasa Chaitanya Leela Te Vyasa Vrindavana Dasa.
Srila Vyasadeva described the pastimes of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vyasa of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Vrindavan Das.
So Vrindavan Das Thakur is a combination of Veda Vyasa and a cowherd boy called as Kusuma Peeda in Krishna Leela. So this is another detail. And Kaviraj Goswami says that among the all the branches of Nityananda Prabhu, Veerabhadra Gosai was the topmost. And his sub-branches were unlimited. And nobody can actually count all these branches. I'm just enumerating only few of them for my own self-purification. 59th verse. Anargala Prema Sabar Cheshta Anargala Prema Dite Krishna Dite Dare Mahabala.
All these devotees had unlimited strength to deliver unobstructed, unceasing love of Krishna. By their own strength, they could offer anyone Krishna and love of Krishna.
So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that a pure Vaishnava as a proprietor of Krishna and love of Krishna. Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite para. Such a Vaishnava can deliver both Krishna and the love of Krishna to anyone and everyone he likes. So therefore one must seek the mercy of a pure devotee to get Krishna and the love of Krishna. So by the grace of a Vaishnava or a bona fide spiritual master, one can get both love of Godhead, Krishna and Krishna himself. Sankshepe kahilaye nityananda gana yahara avadinapaya sahasravadana.
I have briefly described only some of the followers of devotees of Lord Chaitanya, so not Nityananda Mahaprabhu. Even the thousand-mouthed Seshanag cannot describe all of these unlimited devotees.
Shri Rupa Raghunatha Padeyara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa.
With an ardent desire to serve the purpose of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps.
So we'll take a break and then we'll continue the 12th chapter. there is another Jagadananda Pandita also. He also had a similar relation. I'm not sure whether it is Jagadananda Pandita or Damodar Pandita. Chapter is one mentioned. But Vamsi Vadan, is he the spiritual master of Jagannatha Swami? Murari Mahiti. Shriki Maiti and Madhvi, they are all actually assassins of Shri. Yeah, it makes sense. Maybe it's another name, I think. दूसरा नाम रहेगा Queens of Kaviraj. The 12th chapter. Advaitangrabja Bhrungamstan Sara Sara Bruto Kila Hitva Saran Sara Bruto Naomi Chaitanya Jeevana. So this chapter contains the followers of Advaita Acharya and the Gadadhar Pandit. Till the 78th verse, Kaviraj Goswami describes Advaita Acharya's followers, and then from 79th till the rest of the chapter, he describes the Gadadhar Pandit. Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Danya.
All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu, all of them are glorious.
Shri Chaitanya Marataror Dvitiya Skanda Rupinaha Srimad Advaita Chandrasya Shaka Rupanganan Numaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances to the all glorious Advaita Prabhu, who forms the second branch of the eternal Chaitanya tree, and to his followers who form his sub-branches.
So again, Kaviraj Goswami says that there are so many sub-branches of Advaita Acharya branch that it is practically impossible to mention all of them. And the fruits and the flowers from this branch of Advaita Acharya had actually grew day by day, and it has flooded the entire world. Seventh verse. Sei jala skande kare shakate sanchara. Phale phule bade shaka haila vistara.
As the trunk and branches were watered, the branches and sub-branches spread lavishly, and the tree grew full with fruits and flowers.
Pratameta yekamata acharyera gana. Pache dui mata haila daivera karana.
At first, all the followers of Advaita Acharya shared a single opinion, but later they followed two different opinions as ordained by Providence.
So we will see that Advaita Acharya had six sons, but out of those three sons, actually, they became true followers. Initially, Prabhupada says that, Kaviraj Goswami says that all of them had single opinion. But later, only three of them, they remained faithful to the real teachings of Advaita Acharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But three of the sons of Advaita Acharya, they actually deviated. So Prabhupada actually, he compares this incident, compares this particular state to the ISKCON and the Gaudiya Math. And he says that in the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, after his disappearance, there were two factions. Initially, he says that there one faction strictly followed the teachings of Saraswati Thakur, but the other faction did not follow the teachings of Saraswati Thakur. And Saraswati Thakur, like in his deathbed, he instructed to form a governing body and run the Gaudiya Math. But after his disappearance, the two groups, each of the groups, they wanted to become the next Acharya. So Prabhupada says that in this way, because both these groups, they did not want to follow the instruction of Saraswati Thakur to form the governing body. Instead, they wanted to, two of the secretaries of Saraswati Thakur, they wanted to become the next Acharya. So both of them were actually Asara. Asara means both of them became useless because they disobeyed the order of the spiritual master. So this particular point is important. Usually, if we see the whole history of Vaishnava line or any spiritual organization, in every spiritual organization, there is a particular Acharya who would actually was like a guiding the whole organization. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the first person who told that, like this Gaudiya Math should be governed by a governing body instead of an acharya? Because the reason is that, like, I would advise that, I think all of you to read this particular book written by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, founder acharya, founder acharya book. Like, he has, I think this is a, I would say there is a must for all the ISKCON devotees, and he has explained in this in actually more detail. So essentially in the Kali Yuga, the individual purity is actually lacking. So individually, like, for a person to be pure and guide people, that is actually very difficult. So therefore, especially for Kali Yuga, so Saraswati Thakur said that the spiritual organization should be governed by a governing body, not by a single acharya, because he could foresee that individually one will not be strong, but when they come together, they would be able to actually manage properly. Recently, does anybody remember? I think Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he quoted one point in Mayapur. He said that, so Prabhupada was, Prabhupada in one lecture, he would say democracy is demon crazy. And he would say that, he was telling in a lecture, or many times he would say, monarchy is better than democracy. But then, in another conversation, he said, for Kali Yuga, especially for managing a spiritual organization, there's a governing body is more important than one particular acharya. So this is the first instance Saraswati Thakur actually gave this. Usually, never a Vaishnava, any spiritual organization, and also any Vaishnava organization was never actually managed by a group of managers or a group of body. It was always a living acharya was present. Any Sri Sampradaya, or if you take Madhva Sampradaya, and all of them, they appoint a successor actually. But Saraswati Thakur was the first person, he actually gave this instruction to actually form a governing body. And because Prabhupada explained, if you read that Founder Acharya article, Prabhupada, right from the beginning, one may say that Prabhupada was also, he also became the founder acharya. He did not actually, one may say that he also did not try to follow, one may say like that. But actually Prabhupada, right from the beginning when he started ISKCON, he wanted to, in the beginning he offered to his god brother, he said that, I am willing to work under one of the Gaudiya Math. I'm actually worker of, I consider myself as a voluntary worker of the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math. And please actually, he was requesting his god brothers to actually work together. And he didn't want to actually start a separate organization and become the founder acharya. He wanted to actually work cooperatively together with his god brothers. And because that was the instruction of Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur. But because others did not actually agree to his proposal, so he helplessly had to start the other organization and he had to become the founder acharya. And then, but he formed a governing body commission, and he emphasized that after me, this governing body commission would be responsible for running the ISKCON. So therefore, Prabhupada is actually highlighting this point. The essential principle which Prabhupada is drawing is that following the instruction of the spiritual master. In this case, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur has given the instruction to form the governing body and not a single acharya. So Prabhupada writes here, therefore, we do not belong to any faction, but because the two parties busy dividing the material assets of the Gaudiya Math institution stopped the preaching work, we took up the mission of Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Of course, when we are reading this, one thing we have to be careful is that actually, personally, we don't have authority to, in one sense, criticize this Prabhupada's God brothers or something. They are all actually great personalities. I'm just trying to repeat this purport and trying to present the principle. So Prabhupada, like, he has the, in one sense, the authority to speak about them. Like, we cannot actually speak about them. They are all actually exalted personalities. But the principle which Prabhupada is actually bringing forth here is that, like, following the instruction of the spiritual master. Uh-huh. So I will just try to read out this purport. That therefore we do not belong to any faction, but because the two parties busy dividing the material assets of the Gaudiya Math, they stopped the preaching work, and we took up the mission of Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world under the protection of all the predecessor acharyas, and we find that our humble attempt has been successful. So then he says that, so therefore the secret of success in spiritual life is following the instruction of the spiritual master. And yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata gurau tasya ite katita kyarta prakashante mahatmana. Then he says that one must judge every action by its result. The members of the self-appointed acharya's party who occupied the property of the Gaudiya Math are satisfied, but they could make no progress in preaching. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to print as many books as possible and distribute them all over the world, and we have tried our best in this connection, and we are getting results beyond our expectations. Prabhu, would you like to share some points in this one?
Hare Krishna. In Gaudiya Math also, they continue with the name Gaudiya Math in many places, like, for example, Devananda Gaudiya Math, you know, like Ramananda Gaudiya Math, whatever. The Gaudiya Math name is maintained also. But as Prabhupada has explained in this purport, the problem is the diversity is there, but unity is not there. Mm-hmm. Only the diversity aspect is taken care. That means the mathas are all over India, 64 mathas Bhaktivedanta Thakur established. And in each matha, one person became mathadipati, who ran the matha. But there is no common coming together. For example, say, ISKCON Mayapur is doing something wonderful. You can advertise it in America also. In America, like our Chennai temple is publishing a magazine where they say that, you know, we are building a temple in Moscow, you know. You can say that we, Chennai Temple, can publish because we are tied up together, unity, because Prabhupada is our center and the GBC has come together. There are a lot of differences and opinion and everything, but when they all put it all together on the table and they discuss, finally whatever is finalized is, you know, passed, is dissolved, and everybody has to follow it, whether we like or not. You know, that kind of thing is still going on in ISKCON. It's only because of the thread of love for Prabhupada, our movement is still going on the way it is going. And in Gaudiya Math, what happened was, although Prabhupada wanted to bring his God brothers together, some of the God brothers said, don't try to bring us together, the offenses will become enormous if you try to artificially bring us together, because we have serious differences with one another, they said. You know, they said, we have two choices, either to have our own matha and do our own thing in a small way, or to come together and try to resolve. Out of the two, we feel that when we come together because of like a cat and rat for a, you know, type of relationship, you know, we will actually hurt each other so much. So better we remain. So in this way, it is like taking a bundle of sticks and taking out one and giving it to five different sons and asking them to break it, you know. It's very easy to break it. You know, when you tie them up together with a rope, it's impossible to break it, you know. So Prabhupada has kept our society together because of forming the GBC as his guru, you know, told him. And the GBC, you know, many of them are young in the time when Prabhupada was leaving the planet. So there are some mistakes might have happened in the early stages, and it's in a growing, you know, it was in a growing stage. But over the years, because of the deep reverence and love for Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's instruction, Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body and you all have to stay within it and never quit. Never consider quitting ISKCON, no matter how much it is bad. If you think it is bad, you work on reforming it rather than you finger pointing and quitting. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada very, very beautifully gave instructions to keep this together. Although in the last several years, several struggles have been undergone by GBC. Mm. Personally, my respect for GBC comes from several things. One is their age. They have seen the world around far more than we have seen. And another respect I have for them is because they are not single. They are many. There are many like aged and elderly, and they have both worldly wisdom as well as spiritual wisdom, much more than us. Like in the Vedic times also, no king would function independently, claiming him to be a monarch. But he was regularly advised by a body of brahmanas. So like Srila Prabhupada made such a system in individual temples. In individual temples, he didn't make a body. He made a president. He made temple president in each of the temples. And that president is not independent. He is under GBC.
Yeah.
So the GBC brings all the ideas on how the temple should be run, and they may make frame all the policies, and they hand it over to the president, and then the president further, you know, hands it over. So in this way, our society has remained protected. And one point Prabhupada says, Phalena Parichete point he makes here. Phalena Parichete is the results are seen that it is spreading far and wide as per the prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this teaches one very important lesson for the devotees that sometimes if a devotee is adamantly trying to go in one direction and without taking the consensus of others or without considering all the pros and cons with his own intellect, even Krishna doesn't do that. If you see, Krishna consults Uddhava. You know, when he has to decide on going to Ratsuya Yajna or going to kill Jarasandha like that. So that kind of headlong, one-sided approach has brought about the downfall of the Gaudiya Math. Because Gaudiya Math has remained a matha with only Bengali Vaishnavas, you know. So in my one of the programs, I asked the students, there were about 400-500 students, how many are from North India? Yes. Some one group raised that. How many from East India then? South India, you know. And similarly, we asked for languages. So ISKCON has practically proven that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is meant for one and all. It can be practically proven. And that kind of proving only Srila Prabhupada has done. And our faith in Srila Prabhupada should be doubled and tripled because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has worked through him in making this happen, the vision of Prithivite Acharya Dinagaradigram. Recently, in the August 13th, some 120-130 countries across the globe came together to Calcutta for an event where they were all carrying their flags and everything. So Prabhupada has actually brought about a real united kingdom with Krishna as the supreme and all different types of Vaishnavas, which was aspiration of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has given shape. And Prabhupada openly writing in a purport like this about Gaudiya Math is actually to give a warning to us that in the name of higher taste, or we call it as a nectar shopping, we call it. In the name of nectar shopping, one should not quit ISKCON. It has happened in ISKCON that one senior brahmachari left ISKCON. He went and joined Gaudiya Math. And then there he got sannyas very easily because they give sannyas when you are very young. Most of the saffron brahmacharis in ISKCON will get sannyas there very easily. You know? So they give sannyas. And then he found that the missionary activities are not so much. So he was very bored with the lifestyle. So he wanted to come back to ISKCON. So many ISKCON leaders said that, you know, now we cannot accept you because you are initiated from Gaudiya Math and you want to come in. Some ISKCON Vaishnava said that he's after all our man only. He wants to preach. Please encourage him, allow him. But then if you encourage him, allow him, he brings some of the things from there also. So it becomes very difficult for ISKCON. So one good lesson we learn is no matter how many difficulties one will have ISKCON, within ISKCON, one should find out solution within ISKCON only. That lesson we learn. In the time of Narayan Maharaj and all, you know, people left ISKCON and a bulk, good number of people hoping for some nectar there. And they went and now many of them are lamenting also because of that. So one can practically see that we are not focused on Chaturmasya, keeping beard, you know, eating only one mouthful of food. We are not focused on that as many of the Gaudiya Mathas do. We are a preaching mission and that was actually the heart of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Although he wanted his disciples to be very strict and serious about following vratas and everything, that was not primary. That was secondary actually. So in ISKCON also sometimes such flavors may creep in because of lack of clear vision of mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. So if Prabhupada's mood and mission is understood from his purports and if it is faithfully followed, there is only great success for Lord Chaitanya's movement.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah. Listen, Tamal Krishna Maharaj explains in one of his book, like he says that the teachings of a particular acharya can be summarized in the form of a Mahavakya. So he says that the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, according to him, is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Then recently I heard from another disciple, Sureshwar Prabhu. He tells that another Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teaching is that cooperation. You show your love for me by how you cooperate with each other. So therefore, I think this point that like this particular instruction of cooperating and staying together and working the Guru is also under the actually the GBC body. As a Founder Acharya course, Suresh Chaturvedi explained, one may think that this body of this GBC, how can a bunch of managers run a spiritual organization? One may think like that. But actually, this is because one may think it's like a bunch of managers, but it is being carried out under the instruction of the Founder Acharya. So therefore, we cannot say simply a bunch of managers. It is being carried out under the instruction of the Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and who has given this instruction because of the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So these are all actually the liberated personalities. So therefore, it is when you are working under the authority, the temple president or the GBC, then we are actually well protected. So that's
group after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed, they were strictly following his instruction.
The instruction of, I think that Prabhupada refers to actually ISKCON, that's what he said. First he mentions that one group strictly followed, another group did not follow. And then the later part of the purport he says, both the groups actually wanted to become the Acharya. So both the groups are Asara. Both the groups are useless. So therefore, in the first case when he mentioned that one group wanted to strictly follow, I think that refers to ISKCON, it looks like. So we will see, like if you read the Founder Acharya document, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu quotes at least three or four instances, not just in the beginning of ISKCON, like before establishing ISKCON, Prabhupada was seeking the cooperation of others, but even after ISKCON being well established, he wrote a letter at certain point that we can still work together like that. So Sarinder Saru Prabhu quotes that letter to show that how Prabhupada very faithfully wanted to follow this instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur of working cooperatively together. So he points out that. So 9th verse. केहत आचार्य आज्ञाय केहत स्वतंत्र स्वमत कल्पना करे दैव परतंत्र.
Some of the disciples strictly accepted the orders of the Acharya, and others deviated, independently concocting their own opinions under the spell of Devi Maya.
So here he refers to some of the disciples, refers to actually the Advaita Acharya's sons. Acharyera matayai sei matasara Tandra Agya Langi Chale Seita Asara.
The orders of the spiritual master is the active principle in the spiritual life. Anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master immediately becomes useless.
This verse is a very important verse. Persons who strictly follow the order of the spiritual master are useful in executing the will of the Supreme, whereas others who deviate from the strict order of the spiritual master are useless. Asarera name iha nahi prayojana. Beda jani bare kari ekatra ganana.
There is no need to name those who are useless. I have mentioned them only to distinguish them from the useful devotees.
Then he gives a beautiful analogy. Danya rashi mape yeche patna sahite. Paschate patna vudana samskara karite.
Paddy is mixed with the straw at first, and one must fan it to separate the paddy from the straw.
So one has to, like Prabhupada is emphasizing about the importance of discriminating. So one has to separate the paddy from the straw. Similarly, one has to understand who is a real disciple or who is a real follower. But that is determined by who is that person who is executing the will of the spiritual master or the acharya. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tried his best to spread the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to countries outside India. So Saraswati Thakur sent many of his disciples to actually to preach in the outside world. But Prabhupada explains, of course, as I mentioned, we have to be careful. We have to always remember that we don't have authority to speak on them. But what Prabhupada is explaining in the purport is that some devotees, the devotees who were sent to preach in the Western world, why they were not successful in preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya. The reason is that Prabhupada says that they were not serious about preaching Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message outside. So he says that they just wanted to go there and they wanted to return from there and advertise themselves in India as people who have gone to the West and who have tried to preach there. So they did not actually believe that Mahaprabhu's message can be preached in the outside world, in the Western world. So he says there are many Swamis, practically, there are many Swamis who had gone to the West from different spiritual organizations, etc. When Prabhupada also met some Swamis in the 1960s. Many Swamis had gone, but they never tried to actually present the true essence. They merely came back to India falsely advertising that they had converted all the foreigners to the ideas of Vedanta or Krishna consciousness. And then they collected funds in India and lived satisfied lives of material comfort. As one fans paddy to separate the real paddy from useless straw, by accepting the criterion recommended by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, one can very easily understand who is a genuine world preacher and who is useless. Achyutananda Bada Shaka Acharya Nandana. Ajanma sevilate ho chaitanya charana.
A big branch of Advaita Acharya was his son Achyutananda. From the beginning of his life, he engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya.
So, you see that there are six sons of Advaita Acharya. That is Achyutananda, Gopal, and Achyutananda, Krishna Mishra, and Gopal Das. So these three were actually strict followers of Advaita Acharya. But the other three sons, Balaram, Balaram and Swarupa, one more person, they were not strict followers. Balaram, Swarupa and Jagadish. So here first, Achyutananda, but out of the three sons who are actually strict followers, the foremost is actually Achyutananda. So Kaviraj Goswami describes quite a bit regarding Achyutananda. So it is described that once Advaita Acharya, I think somebody asked Advaita Acharya that, Advaita Acharya was mentioning to somebody that Keshava Bharati Maharaj is the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Keshava Bharati Maharaj only gave sannyas diksha to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Achyutananda heard this from Advaita Acharya, he became so angry, he said that by telling that Keshava Bharati is the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are actually misguiding the entire world. You are spoiling the entire world. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the spiritual master of the whole world. And by saying in the contrary, which is not supported by the scripture, you are actually misguiding the people. So when Advaita Acharya heard the statement of Achyutananda, he was so satisfied by Achyutananda's strong conviction. And Achyutananda, he spoke this when he was only 5 years old. It's like at 5 years, he spoke with great conviction. So in the purport to the 17th verse, Prabhupada gives details of certain age. He says that Mahaprabhu took birth in 1486. And so 1510, he took sannyas. So he says that when Achyutananda, when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, it must be 1510. So Achyutananda was, at that time, he was around 5 years old. Something like 1511 or 1512. So it's explained, he also gives details that when Mahaprabhu showed the, performed that Mahaprakash Leela in the house of Srivas Thakur. So at that time also, Mahaprabhu told the devotees to bring Advaita Acharya. So that time Achyutananda also accompanied Advaita Acharya to the house of Srivas Thakur. And also he explains that another pastime is that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Advaita Acharya actually spoke the Yoga Vashishta philosophy, you know that pastime, that will come a little later also. Advaita Acharya wanted to be chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he spoke the Yoga Vashishta philosophy. At time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his house and he was beating Advaita Acharya. So that time also Achyutananda was present. So Prabhupada explained, so that means these two pastimes of showing Mahaprakash Leela and beating Advaita Acharya, that must have taken place just 2 or 3 years before Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Because just, and also when Advaita Acharya, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Advaita Acharya's house after taking sannyas, and Nityananda Prabhu tricked him to come to Shantipur, that time also Achyutananda was present. So somewhere at that time only this pastime took place, when Achyutananda said that, how can you say that Keshava Bharati the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by this he says that, so these Mahaprakash Leela and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beating Advaita Acharya, these pastimes took place some 2-3 years before Mahaprabhu took sannyas. These are some details that Prabhupada explains in the purport. And and also another pastime he says that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur after taking sannyas, that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Achyutananda that Advaita Acharya is my father. So you and me, we are actually brothers. We are brothers, like that he said. So actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was almost 24 years old. Advaita Acharya, the Achyutananda was 4 or 5 years old. So That is the mood of Mahaprabhu with Achyutananda. And there is no, Achyutananda is explained that there is no information that he ever got married. So that means he remained as a brahmachari. And the disciple of Achyutananda is Gadadhar Pandit. So Achyutananda was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shifted to Jagannath Puri, Achyutananda also stayed in Jagannath Puri. So then after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, and later Achyutananda, he returned to actually Shantipur and stayed at the house of Advaita Acharya. So because Advaita Acharya, Achyutananda stayed at Jagannath Puri for considerably when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying in Jagannath Puri, so Prabhupada says that it is very likely that Achyutananda was became a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. In that way he is guessing. And also it is explained that later in the Gundicha Maharajan, the Ratayatra, Achyutananda was one of the lead dancer in one of those kirtan parties. So that time Achyutananda was only 6 years old. But he was one of the lead dancers. So 18th verse. Krishna Mishra Nama Ara Acharya Tanaya Chaitanya Gosai Baise Yahara Hridaya.
Krishna Mishra was the son of Advaita Acharya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always sat in his heart.
So Krishna Mishra, the second son of Advaita Acharya, there is a very detailed description of the descendants of Krishna Mishra. So many names are mentioned, so I'll not go into the detail. Shri Gopala Name Ara Acharya Rasuta Tahara Charitra Shuna Atyanta Adbhuta.
Shri Gopal was another son of Shri Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Now just hear about his characteristics, for they are all very wonderful.
So Gopal is the third son. So once after the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, so Gopal actually danced in front of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great love and happiness. So Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya, they also were chanting and dancing. And it is explained that when Gopal was dancing, and suddenly he fainted and he became unconscious. So Advaita Acharya became so unhappy and he began to chant the Narasimha mantra for protection. But although he chanted various mantras, Gopal did not get up only. And finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his hand on the chest of Gopal and then he said that, "My dear Gopal, please get up and chant the holy name of the Lord." Then when immediately Gopal actually got up, and he actually, all the Vaishnavas were so astonished. And Gopal actually chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And all the Vaishnavas chanted the holy names. So these are something about the first three sons. On the next three sons, although Kaviraj Goswami, he says that actually their names need not be mentioned because they are not, they became deviants. But just for the sake, he is just mentioning their names. Shri Balram, Swarupa and Jagadish. So here in the 27th verse, he explains that these three sons, they were either Smarthas or Mayavadis. They were actually rejected by the Vaishnava society. So there are one class of Mayavadis. They actually worship Vishnu, but their attitude is that they not only worship Vishnu, but they also worship the other four deities. Ganesh, Surya, Durga and Lord Shiva. And also they worship Vishnu and they feel that worship of any of these forms is actually as good as any other form. This is called as Panchopasana. This Panchopasana concept was given by the Mayavadis. Although they may be worshipping Vishnu, because their attitude was that this worship of Vishnu is same as worship of Ganesh or Durga. So therefore, they have the attitude of Mayavadis. And another point which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says is that this Balram had 3 wives and 9 sons. And the youngest son of his first wife was known as Madhusudan Goswami. So what he highlights is that this Madhusudan Goswami, he had a son called as Radha Raman Goswami Bhattacharya. But Radha Raman Goswami Bhattacharya, he refused the title of Goswami. So what Saraswati Thakur highlights in the purport is that, so Madhusudan Goswami, although he was a grahastha, but he accepted the title of Goswami. So he highlights, he says that a householder cannot accept the title of Goswami. The householder life is actually a concession given for a person who wants to enjoy sense gratification. So therefore, a grahastha should not falsely accept the title of Goswami. And therefore, he points out this mistake. And then he also mentions that some of the like descendants through these three sons of Advaita Acharya who did not follow the teachings of Advaita Acharya, some of their descendants, they would perform the Shraddha of Advaita Acharya by following the Smartha Vidhi of a person called as Raghunandan. So this Raghunandan, he gives a concocted Smartha Vidhi. In that concocted Smartha Vidhi, they make a murti of Advaita Acharya and they would burn the murti of Advaita Acharya in the Shraddha ceremony. So this is something according to the, this is actually the practice of Rakshasas, and this particular way of performing the Shraddha ceremony, it disrespects the rules given in the Haribhakti Vilas, which is the guide for the Vaishnavas. So therefore, these are some of the mistakes Saraswati Thakur is pointing out. Basically, 3 points he is pointing out. One point is that they are actually following although they are worshippers of Vishnu, they consider worship of Vishnu as equivalent to worship of other forms. So that way there is a Mayavad tendency. And second fault which he is pointing out is that grahasthas accepting the title of Goswami. And the third point is that they are performing the Shraddha according to the Vidhi of Smartha Raghunandan, which is actually not according to the Vaishnava practices in which they burned the images of Advaita Acharya. So these 3 mistakes are being pointed out. So after having mentioned these 3 sons, then he goes to another confidential servant of Advaita Acharya. Kamalakanta Vishwasanama Acharya Kinkara. Acharya Vyavahara Sabha Tahara Gochara.
Advaita Acharya's very confidential servant named Kamalakanta Vishwas knew all the dealings of Advaita Acharya.
So I think this Kamalakanta Vishwas also came in the 10th chapter. Remember? Because Kamalakanta Vishwas came as one of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Jagannath Puri. I think there it came, I guess. So Kamalakanta Vishwas is born in a Brahmin family, and he engaged in the service of Advaita Acharya as a secretary, and previously he also served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Paramananda Puri, he was serving Advaita Acharya as a secretary, but when Paramananda Puri went to Jagannath Puri, so Paramananda Puri took Kamalakanta Vishwas along with him to Jagannath Puri. So there is a beautiful pastime. Of course, the entire pastime comes later in the Antya Leela. So once what happened, Kamalakanta Vishwas, he sent a note to Prataparudra Maharaj. And in that note, he mentioned that Advaita Acharya is the supreme personality of Godhead, and therefore, please relieve him of the debt of 300 some coins, some measurement, he says. So somehow this particular note sent by Kamalakanta Vishwas to Pratapurda Maharaj, this note reached the hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read that note, he became so unhappy. And he smilingly spoke as follows. So 34th verse. Acharya rastapi yache kariya ishvara ite dosha nahi acharya daivata ishvara.
He has established Advaita Acharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is nothing wrong in this, for he is indeed the Lord himself.
Ishwarera dainya kari kariya che biksha atayeva danda kari karaiva shiksha.
But he has made the incarnation of Godhead a poverty-stricken beggar. Therefore, I shall punish him in order to correct him.
So this is so he's saying that Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But please relieve him of the debt of 300. That means he's making Advaita Acharya as a beggar. So please, I am just begging that please remove that debt. So Prabhupada actually brings that point to actually the Daridra Narayan concept. So this was actually especially like I think the beginning of the 20th century, many of these Arya Samaj or which, so they started this. Like when the Christian missionaries, when they started doing so many social service, so some of these Hindu organizations, so they, like Christian missionaries, they started saying that, they were saying that, so Jesus is so great. See, because we are followers of Jesus, we are doing so much of social service. What you people, you are not doing any social service. So because of the mercy of Jesus, we are able to see everyone as a son of God and we are doing so much of social service. And then in this way, they started actually preaching, they started converting people. Then many of these Hindu people, so they started saying that, okay, because you are followers of Jesus, you are seeing everyone as a son of God. But we see everyone as God. And then they started the concept of Manav Seva is Madhav Seva. So that was actually the historical this one. So they, in one sense, so there, maybe the intention was they wanted to stop the Christian conversion. Maybe there was a noble intention. But they didn't, in trying to actually stop that, they actually, they contaminated the people with the Mayavad concept. And they started Manav Seva is Madhav Seva, and we are doing Daridra Narayan Seva. That means like the poor man is actually, he is a Narayan. Serving the poor man is equivalent to serving Narayan. So this is actually a rasabas. When you say somebody is a Narayan, then how can you make him a beggar? So it's a Mayavad, and also Prabhupada writes in one of the later purport, it is actually a rasabas also. It's an offense actually. So you see, so there is selfishness, so that is the lowest, and higher than that is selflessness for some material, like selflessness in the form of like philanthropy or altruistic activities. But higher than that is selflessness for Krishna, devotional service. But when a person performs the selfless activities of like, say, philanthropic or altruistic activities, and when he equates that with service to God. So there is selfishness, and higher than that is like philanthropic activities, and higher than that is actually service to God, devotional service. But when you make the selfless activities of, say, the philanthropic activity equivalent to service to God, then you become actually lower than a selfish person. Because you are committing an offense. So the normal hierarchy is selfishness, selflessness and service to Krishna. But when you make the philanthropy equal to Manav Seva, equal to Madhav Seva, then you commit an offense, then when you commit an offense, the hierarchy gets reversed. Then a person becomes lower than a selfish person. So that is what actually happened in the case of like Shaubari Muni. So Shaubari Muni, in one sense, he was doing a philanthropic, we can say he wanted to do some social service for the fishes. But in that, when he committed an offense to Garuda, he became actually lower than even a normal materialistic person, that he became so lusty that he wanted to marry 51 daughters at once. So this Daridra Narayan concept Prabhupada actually is talking about here. And then one may get the question, what about Vamanadev? Vamanadev was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He became a beggar. But then Vamanadev, he demonstrated his power by actually measuring all the three worlds. But these Daridra Narayan poor people, they don't actually exhibit their opulence. So that is the point he says. So one should not accept the so-called Daridra Narayan as incarnations because they are completely unable to show the opulence of genuine incarnations of the Lord. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Govinda, because Kamalakanta Vishwas has committed this offense, or he is committing, like he is making this, say, Rasabhas, or he is committing, making Advaita Acharya as a beggar after calling his incarnation, do not allow him to come here anymore. Huh. So, 37th verse. Dandashuni Vishwasa Haila Paramadukita Shuniya Prabhura Danda Acharya Harshita.
When Kamalakanta Vishwas heard about this punishment by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very unhappy. But when Advaita Prabhu heard about it, he was greatly pleased.
So Advaita Acharya, when he heard that, he became actually so happy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has punished Kamalakanta Vishwas. So Advaita Acharya told him, actually you are so fortunate to be punished by the Lord. So Prabhupada quotes in the purport that actually that samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshosi na priyaha. So Lord is actually equal towards everyone. But only to the special people, he actually either shows his love, he reciprocates in a favorable way, or he punishes. So Advaita Acharya says that because normally the Lord is actually equal to everyone, but because you are a very special devotee, so that is why he has punished you. So therefore you are very fortunate. That means like he has accepted you as his servant. So then Advaita Acharya told like Kamalakanta Vishwas, formerly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always respected me as a senior, but I didn't actually like that. And then once I actually spoke this Yoga Vasishta philosophy, which considers liberation as the goal of life, and then the Lord became angry and then he treated me with apparent disrespect. So we can see like Advaita Acharya, like one thing we can see from this, like how even the Advaita, like there is a greater pleasure in being accepted as a servant of the Lord, like when the accepting the, not getting the respect from the Lord, but actually the Lord accepting us as one servant. So Advaita Acharya was eager to be accepted as a servant of the Lord and not wanting respect from the Lord. But then Advaita Acharya says that when I was chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I was very happy. So he said that similarly, previously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also punished Mukunda. You know that pastime that Mahaprabhu told Mukunda, oh, he cannot come and see me. And Mukunda asked through other devotees, will I ever be able to get that darshan of the Lord? Mahaprabhu said, after 1,000,000 lifetimes, I will give my darshan. And Mahaprabhu started dancing. Then Mahaprabhu immediately called him. Then Advaita Acharya also quotes that once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also punished Sachi Devi. Sachi Mata, because of his feminine nature, she actually criticized Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya has made one of my son as a sannyasi and he is trying to contaminate other sons also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually considered as an offense Advaita Acharya, and then he punished Sachidevi also. So in this way, Advaita Acharya pacified Kamalakanta, and then he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 44th verse. Prabhu ke kakhena tomara nabuji elila. Amahai te prasada patra karila kamala.
Shri Advaita Acharya told Lord Chaitanya, I cannot understand your transcendental pastimes. You have shown more favor to Kamalakanta than you generally show to me.
So Advaita Acharya is saying that you only showed me the favor of actually beating me. Would you know, you never told me that don't come to meet me. But you have told Kamalakant Vishwas that you cannot come to meet me. Therefore, you have showed more favor to Kamalakant Vishwas than to me. So this is actually Advaita Acharya was saying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he immediately laughed. He laughed and then immediately called Kamalakanta Vishwas. So 47th verse. Acharya kahe iha ke kene dile darshana. Dui prakare te kare more vidambana.
Advaita Acharya then said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why have you called back this man and allowed him to see you? He has cheated me in two ways.
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, his mind was satisfied. Only they could understand each other's minds. Then Mahaprabhu told Kamalakanta, you are a Bauliya. So Aula, Baula, Karta, Bhaja, like different apasampradayas. So here he says, you are a Bauliya. That means like you don't know things as they are. So why are you invading the privacy of Advaita Acharya and damaging his religious principles? So here Prabhupada says that calling an incarnation of the Supreme Lord being indebted to the people of this world, it is actually rasabhas. It is actually rasabhas. Overlapping of one humor with another. This is the same type of idea as the contradiction that Narayan is poverty stricken. Yeah, then another one important point. Pratigraha kabuna karibe rajadana vishayira anna kaile dushtahayamana.
Advaita Acharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from the rich man or kings, because if a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such a materialist, his mind becomes polluted.
So here he says that Advaita Acharya should not accept some charity from the king or from any materialistic person. So this is some very interesting, instructive verses. So this... Because whenever a person accepts charity or even food from others, one mind becomes polluted. When the mind becomes polluted, one cannot actually remember Krishna. It is difficult to remember Krishna. And the remembrance of Krishna becomes hampered. And when the remembrance of Krishna becomes hampered, then the life becomes unproductive. So that is what, so then the next verse purport, Prabhupada explains that, therefore remembrance of Krishna, Prabhupada quotes three points in the purport. Smartavya sadatam Vishnu, vismartavyona jatuchit. The remembrance of Krishna is the essence of all the rules and regulations. And then he also quotes the second canto verse, tasmat bharata sarvatma, bhagavan ishvaro hari, smartavya kirtitavyascha, smartavyascha, ichyata bayam. Shukadeva Goswami instructed Parishit Maharaj to remember. And the third quote which Prabhupada quotes is that avyartha kalatvam. A devotee does not waste a single moment without remembering Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is basically saying that if you Advaita Acharya, you should not make Advaita Acharya accept some money, charity from a materialistic person. Because that would actually contaminate one's mind, and then it is difficult to remember Krishna. A person cannot remember Krishna, one's life is unproductive. 52nd verse. Lokalajjahaya dharma kirtihaya hani. Aiche karma nakariha kabu iha jani.
Thus one becomes unpopular in the eyes of people in general, for this damages his religiosity and fame. A Vaishnava, especially one who acts as a spiritual master, must not act in such a way. One should always be conscious of this fact.
So especially, it's explained that this instruction is especially all the more important for one who is acting like a guru or an acharya. And Mahaprabhu gave this instruction, so everyone felt that it is an instruction for all of us. So we can see sometimes some spiritual master is giving instruction to one person, but others feel that, oh, it's an instruction for him, not for me. But it's explained that all the devotees considered to be meant for everyone. In this way, Advaita Acharya was greatly pleased. Acharyera abhipraya prabhu matra bhuje prabhura gambira vakya acharya samuje.
Only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand the intentions of Advaita Acharya, and Advaita Acharya appreciated the grave instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So Kaviraj Goswami says that in this statement there are many confidential considerations, but just so that because I don't want to unnecessarily increase the volume of the book, I am not writing everything. That's what he says. And the fifth branch of Advaita Acharya was Yadunandan, who had many branches and sub-branches, and it is impossible to write of them. So Yadunandan Acharya was the official spiritual master of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Yadunandan Acharya was also he is a disciple of Vasudev Datta. And so because he got his mercy, he could accept the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And then there are other devotees like Bhagavata Acharya, who was Shweta Manjari in Krishna Leela, Vishnudas Acharya, Chakrapani Acharya, Ananta Acharya. So Ananta Acharya was the Sudevi in Krishna Leela. So you can read the translation from 59 onwards.
Nandini, Kamadev, Chaitanya Das, Durlabh Vishwas, and Vanmali Das were the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, and the 14th branches of Sri Advaita Acharya. Jagannath Kara, Bhavanath Kara, Radayananda Sen, Bholanath Das were the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th branches of Advaita Acharya. Yadav Das, Vijay Das, Janardhan Das, Ananta Das, Kanu Pandit, Narayan Das were the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th branches of Advaita Acharya. Sri Vats Pandit, Haridas Brahmachari, Purushottam Brahmachari, Krishna Das were the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th branches of Advaita Acharya. Purushottam Pandit, Raghunath, Vanmali, Kavichandra, and Vidyanath were the 20th, 29th, 38th, 31st, and 32nd branches of Advaita Acharya. Loknath Pandit, Murari Pandit, Sri Haricharan, and Madhav Pandit were the 33rd, 34th, 35th, and 36th branches of Advaita Acharya. Vijay Pandit, Sriram Pandit were the two important branches of Advaita Acharya. There are innumerable branches, but I am unable to mention them all.
So Sriram Pandit is the brother of Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni, and Sriram Pandit is actually Parvata Muni. So Advaita Acharya branch received the water supplied by the original gardener Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, the sub-branches were nourished and their fruits and flowers grew luxuriantly. But after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of the branches deviated from his path. Some branches did not accept the original trunk that vitalized and maintained the entire tree. When they thus became ungrateful, the original trunk was angry at them. 69th verse. Kruddhana skandatare jalana sanchare Jalabhave krisha shaka sukaiya mare.
Thus Lord Chaitanya did not sprinkle upon them the water of his mercy, and they gradually withered and died.
Chaitanya rahita deha shushka shushka kashta sama jivite imrutase maile dande yama.
A person without Krishna consciousness is no better than dry wood or a dead body. He is understood to be a dead while living, and after death he is punishable by Yamraj.
So you see that some of the people from the other three sons of Advaita Acharya who did not follow the true teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that means like they did not allow them their branches to be nourished by the water of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became actually withered. And here it is explained that like anybody who does not follow the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, anybody who is against the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be considered an atheist and subject to be punished by Yamaraj. So Prabhupada in the purport to the 70th verse, he quotes the verse spoken by Yamaraj to the Yamadutas. Can anybody remember that verse? Jihvana Muk. Thank you. Thank you very much. So Yamaraj says that one should do not actually bring those who are rendering devotional service. Bring only those people who are not even once remembered or once chanted. So that is that purport is quoted by Prabhupada. This is the process of dehantara or transmigration of self from one body to another. Krishna conscious devotees, however, are not subject to be judged by Yamaraj. For devotees, there is an open road as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mamyeti sorjuna. 72nd verse. Ki pandita ki tapasvi ki bagrihiyati chaitanya vimukha yei tarayei gati.
Be he a learned scholar, a great ascetic, a successful householder, or a famous sannyasi, one who is against the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is destined to suffer the punishment meted out by Yamraj.
Yeyei Laila Shri, Yeyei Laila Shri Achyutanandera Mata Sei Acharyera Gana Mahabhagavata.
The descendants of Advaita Acharya who accepted the path of Sri Achyutanand were all great devotees.
So here Prabhupada again like highlights the same points. One thing he says is that anybody who poses himself as an independent sannyasi or a scholar, such a person is like a dead branch of a tree. So it is said that under the spell of Maya, the most unfortunate condition of a living entity, some of the branches, not accepting the gardener who poured water on them, considered the trunk the only cause of the great Bhakti Kalpataru. That means what he is saying is that some of the people from Advaita Acharya, they did not accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they only accepted the trunk Advaita Acharya. So therefore, they became actually dead. In other words, the branches are descendants of Advaita Acharya who considered Advaita Acharya the original cause of the devotional creeper and who thus neglected or disobeyed the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deprived themselves of the effect of being watered and thus dried up and died. Because there are certain people who say that Advaita Acharya is a on the same level, something like a classmate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In one of the previous purport, or somewhere it is mentioned. Some people give this wrong opinion. is actually in the same age as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Saraswati Thakur actually refutes that. Huh. So, it is further, so it is, this analysis of Bhaktivinoda Thakur supporting the statements of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami depicts the position of present so-called Hindu religion, which being predominantly conducted by the Mayavad philosophy has become a hodgepodge institution of various concocted ideas. Mayavadis greatly fear the Krishna consciousness movement and accuse it of spoiling the Hindu religion because it accepts people from all parts of the world and all religious sects and scientifically engages them in the Daivi Varnashram Dharma. So especially Prabhupada faced like a strong opposition from the caste Goswamis who would always say that how can you actually give initiation to Western people? And Prabhupada says, in fact, these Hindu organization, the word Hindu itself came from Afghanistan. This is in Afghanistan, like there is a place called as Hindu Kush. Hindu Kush is a place like, in which India and like Muslim people, they would actually, they would supply their different trade articles. So this word itself came from the Afghanistan. So many Hindu people actually, this Mayavadi organization, they actually criticize us. But Prabhupada is basically saying that all these people, they are not following the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he quotes Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman. So we take it for granted, therefore, that all humanity should be educated in Krishna consciousness. Indeed, in all parts of the world, in every country where we preach the Sankirtan movement, we find that people very easily accept the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without hesitation. The visible effect of this chanting is that the members of the Hare Krishna movement, regardless of their backgrounds, all give up the four principles of sinful life and come to an elevated standard of devotion. So then he says that there are so many people, Hindu organization, they are posing as like in Vedic organization, but the essence of the Vedic culture is the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is that message? Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agnaya guru hoy tara yei desh. So, I'll just stop here. So, would you like to add any points? So, this chapter, sir. Last paragraph? Yeah. One should simply instruct everyone he meets regarding the principles of Krishna Katha as expressed in Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam.
So not the last paragraph. 73, although posing as great scholars, ascetics, householders, and swamis, the so-called followers of Hindu religion are all useless, dried-up branches of the Vedic religion. They are impotent, he says. They cannot do anything to spread the Vedic culture for the benefit of human society. Ah, very powerful.
Yeah.
So, Hare Krishna, I wanted to say just a couple of words. In a tree, you will see when a mango is connected to the tree, initially it is green, eventually it becomes ripe, then it becomes eatable and very relishable by all. But sometimes a mango disconnects from a tree and falls to the ground. So if you pick up such a mango, it will be one side green and one side orange, you know. It will be like semi-ripe mango like that. So because of that, it's not tasty. Similarly, even those who come into ISKCON and connect with, or they might have connected with even Srila Prabhupada, at one time, somebody might have had a great attraction for Krishna consciousness in the beginning, and then they might later on get deviated, either due to sensuous attractions or due to impersonal leanings or deviant philosophy or something like that. So, because of which they gradually stop exuding Krishna consciousness because of the disconnectivity, although they might have got initiated in a proper parampara actually. later on also it may happen. So amongst such distractions, which deviations, the sensuous deviation is not considered that serious as philosophical deviation, because the person who is sensually deviated still has a respect for the Acharya and still has appreciation for the Vaishnava philosophy. He's so in the path of spiritual life, the inability is not considered insincerity. So inability to follow the vows, and it may be a struggle for some people, but such people eventually will become blessed and they may return back. Just like that verse says, Navai, what is that? Navai jano jatu katanchana avrajen, mukunda sevyang grenyanyavad anga samsratim. He says, smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar, he says. So they are called rasagraha. One who is a rasagraha will always come back. But one is not a rasagraha devotee, he is deviated philosophically, that is a far more dangerous situation. If somebody becomes an atheist by reading atheistic books, or there was one devotee who was a good preacher, but he became a Buddhist. The very same Buddhism which we defeat in our movement. So a few years he was a Buddhist because he liked silence. And the reason he liked silence was because he had offended many devotees and in the circle, and then because of which he felt Vaishnavism is, he didn't like Vaishnavism. So he went to Buddhism for silence. But after almost 6 years or so, I think, again he has come back to ISKCON now. Because he got bored with silence also. So now he understood that he wants activity, which is very healthy activity of the soul. So fortunately he has come back. Otherwise one can get totally lost also when one is philosophically deviating. So the kind of deviation that is being spoken here in many of these purports is actually philosophical deviation, which doesn't align with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. When I had gone to Navadvip, one devotee was telling me, one of the upcoming devotees, he told me that his grandfather wants to dedicate his life to one matha, to his guru. And he said that their philosophy is Chaitanya Pat Shankara Mat, he said. Which means they are Mayavadis, but they like chanting and dancing because it's very relishable, enjoyable. And they wonder how the senses of Vaishnavas are so easily controlled by chanting and dancing, accepting prasad. So they want to live lifelong like Chaitanya's followers. And at the end, what is their culmination? Shankara Mat. They want to merge into Brahman. So this is one example of philosophically deviant sampradaya, which appears like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sampradaya externally, because they also wear tilak, they wear kantimala, they wear dhoti kurta, everything. When I met that person's father, he appeared like a Vaishnava only. Then when he told me about his philosophy, I didn't speak anything beyond that. Kept quiet. So in this way, some of the deviant sects came. Like the Ritvikism, which has come up as a deviant sect from ISKCON. It's called heresy, we call it. Heresy means, heretic means that which deviates from the mainstream parampara, guru parampara. So what is the greatest flaw in this is to, although externally it appears like proper, many Vaishnava acharyas, our current acharyas have written commentaries on how it is a very serious deviation. Although the people who originally deviated, their point was that we have to keep the respect for Prabhupada, the principles of Vaishnava, the Prabhupada taught bold preaching and everything, we should keep it. So their intention was to give due respect to Prabhupada. But eventually, in the course of doing that, they have damaged themselves greatly by offending the current Acharyas and Vaishnavas, who are also in good standing, who are taking the movement forward very carefully, very nicely. So in this way, although they initially appeared to be succeeding because they had a lot of money and a lot of branches opened here and there, they are not able to hold everything together. The main reason being they are not blessed by Vaishnavas. That is why the Hari Guru Vaishnavas blessing is very essential for, taking the movement ahead. So in this way, even if one's, like it is said, good intentions are not good enough, it is said. Because intentions are not alone good, because the intention should also be supported by guidance and blessings from Hari Guru Vaishnavas is very important. So the deviation may begin in a small way and it may take a big shape. Just like aeroplane may take a 1 degree deviation. Instead of landing in Israel, it may land in Moscow. It can happen. So this is one reason why as practicing devotees, one has to repeatedly take a look at one's practice about how much are we aligning with the Guru Parampara in our preaching, in our practice, in our lifestyle. Because sometimes unwanted things can creep in. We may, in our presentation of philosophy also, how pure are we presenting and how much are we adding masala to it in such a manner that ultimately only masala remains and there is no substance. It can happen. So then we may be giving people what we want to stop them from. Mm-hmm. We may feed them poison. We may want to tell them to stop poison and we may only feed poison. Mm-hmm. We may become instruments of poison. So we have to do this kind of purports which very carefully Prabhupada has given. Is a kind of warning that, you know, once I heard my spiritual master say in a lecture that Adhutacharya Prabhu fed the same prasad to all the 6 children, he was telling, one of the talks, and some 3 of them also ate, but then they became deviated because the free will is always there for one to become deviated and asar, instead of becoming asar with essence. Thank you. One example comes to my mind. I don't want to quote the name, but Prabhupada, once when he brought his disciples to India, he wanted them to stay somewhere. So one of his god brothers had started a college, very popular, Mathura, he had started a college. So he said that your students can, stay with us. We have accommodation facility. And also, Prabhupada was thinking that because he started a college with some mundane subjects, yeah, Prabhupada thought it will be nice if my disciples preach to the other students and then something wonderful may come up. They may become devotees. But then Prabhupada writes that, in that college there was a mixing of boys and girls, co-education, they're mixing and they were doing some materialistic courses. Although his god brother started that college with the desire to give Krishna consciousness, which was, it was good intention was there in the beginning. But then, in order to satisfy the parents of the students and to satisfy the materialistic mentality of the students and to help them earn a management degree, some degree by some affiliated university, in order to accomplish all that, then ultimately what happened was it became a management college rather than any Krishna conscious institution. So we have to be very careful when we want to dovetail anything in Krishna service, because what remained there was tail than a dove. There was no dove. Only tail remained there. So the only glory of the college is it is in Mathura Vrindavan Dham. But what happens inside was totally materialistic. And Prabhupada told his disciples, immediately get out of that place. Because he saw that some of the disciples are getting affected by the material association there. And Prabhupada said, it's no good place for you to stay. And then Prabhupada put them in some Gaudiya Mattas and other places where different problems happened. And then, so you can imagine how much Prabhupada must have struggled when he brought his first lot of disciples to India. So, as much as we want to vigorously preach and shelter Vaishnavas give them Krishna consciousness, equally we have to worry about not getting deviated from the original purpose for which the organization has been started. That is why if you see Sanatana Goswami was first told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the very first verse, what he said? Asat Sangatyag Vaishnavacharya. Even before telling about what is Vaishnavacharya, he is telling Asat Sangatyag, he says first.
Thank you, bro. I think tomorrow Damodar will continue. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So, everybody can note down the questions. Page number 103, Adi Lila chapter 11, question number 1, 10 marks.
Question number 2, also 10 marks. And question number 3, 5 marks. So again, I am repeating. Chapter 11, question number 1 and 2, 10 marks each. And question number 3, 5 marks. Adilila chapter 12, question number 1 and 2, 10 marks each. And 3, question number 3, 5 marks. Yeah. Hare Krishna.